Questions and Answers on the Bible. Chapter 180. Souls Calling for Vengeance. Suppose we say the soul is not immortal till the resurrection. I should like to hear further on this subject. You say, suppose we say the soul is not immortal till the resurrection, but it is not left for us to say, or to suppose. The scripture tells us that we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. This is positive, and leaves no room for speculation. Now the fact being settled that immortality is obtained only at the coming of Christ, any text which seems to imply the contrary must be known to be exactly in harmony with this. That is to say, the scriptures are never self-contradictory, and every portion of scripture is true in itself, but some subjects are plainly and positively set forth in some portions, and are only incidentally referred to in others, or they are not referred to at all. It is evident that the passages that contain incidental reference must be in harmony with the positive statement. And further, we are never warranted in drawing inferences from any text, in opposition to the plain statement of some other text. Now knowing that immortality is not conferred until the resurrection, let us read. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them, that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. This is one of a series of seven views given to the prophet John. John was in the Spirit, and was looking into heaven, seeing and hearing things that were to come to pass. In this particular line he saw a book held in the hand of God, sealed with seven seals, and as each seal was broken a scene was presented to him. As we read the description of the opening of those seals, we find that all the events portrayed take place on the earth. This is most clearly stated in connection with the second, third, fourth, and sixth seals. The apostle, looking into heaven, was given a vision of things to come to pass on the earth. Now, since the events of all the other seals pertain to the earth, it is certainly unwarranted to assume that the scenes of the fifth seal are in heaven. This assumption, which comes from the careless reading of the text, is the cause of all the misunderstanding concerning the souls under the altar. The altar spoken of is evidently the altar of sacrifice. The souls that cry out are represented as under the altar, just as they have fallen down slain, but nothing of that kind is in the heavens. It is only on earth that such things occur. It is evident that the word, altar, here is used in the figurative sense that is so common even now, as when it is said that such and such a one was sacrificed on the altar of his country. No one thinks that the man referred to was laid on a literal altar and consumed. But the souls here spoken of had in their lifetime offered their bodies a living sacrifice to God, and their death was but the consummation of the sacrifice by which they witnessed to the truth. This confirms the statement that an altar, such as that described in connection with the tabernacle of Moses, is not referred to. We are called upon to offer our bodies a living sacrifice. A sacrifice implies an altar. Paul said in writing to the brethren, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And just before his death he writes, I am now ready to be offered. The apostle Paul was thus sacrificed, and he is one of the souls under the altar. Yet his head was cut off by a Roman sword, and his blood and body fell upon the ground, as was the case with thousands of others. The idea that the glorified saints occupy themselves continually with asking for vengeance is most repugnant, and it is strange that any Christian ever could have imagined such a thing. It is an illustration both of the careless way in which the Bible is read, and also of the desperate efforts to build up a theory that has once been accepted. The idea is handed down from generation to generation, and people exert themselves, not to investigate it, to see whether or not it is true, but to find something that will defend it. And so they impulsively and rashly seize upon any text of Scripture which sounds as though it might favor it, and press it into service. Christ's followers, even on earth, are commanded to pray for them that despitefully use them and persecute them, and therefore it is most certain that they will not begin to call for vengeance upon them as soon as they get into heaven. Nevertheless, it is true that the souls of the saints, the lives that have been poured out, do cry to God for vengeance. He says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." He marks every act of injustice, every deed of oppression, every persecution, every drop of bloodshed for the truth's sake, and will certainly bring the perpetrators of such offenses to justice. When Cain killed Abel, because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous, God said, "The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground." It is thus that the blood, in which is the life, the soul of every slaughtered saint, cries to God for vengeance, which will be manifested when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire. And this vengeance will not now be long delayed. Back page. Several persons have within the past few months sent questions to the private corner, asking light on the sin against the Holy Ghost, referring, of course, among other things. These have been informed by letter that in due time the studies in the Epistle to the Hebrews would come to that text, when the subject would be considered in the Bible class. We have now come to that subject, and we wish to call the special attention of those who have been perplexed over it to the fact that it is taken up in this week's study.